Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Can as this, please, mate. A little bit drunk, so not as succinct as usual, but I just want to say how proud I am of the United's response today. It's very Manchester United that second half. They obviously were very pissed off, and despite that nonsense decision, they pulled together, and the second half they performed like a very, very good Manchester United team with some very good players there. We just talk about that fucking decision. Utterly ridiculous, farcical, disgusting. I'll admit I've had a few drinks, but my goodness me, what has he seen? What pathetic refereeing. Cowardly. But the one thing I'll take from this pandemic is that thank God we weren't in the ground for all this shite. Having to wait for 2 or 3 minutes before you can properly celebrate a goal is crap. It's not what football's about. I wish we could have put a performance like we did in the second half today in the games against the likes of Palace at home, Sheffield United at home, Arsenal at home. And if we had, we would actually be in a title challenge. But onwards and upwards.
Hello, everyone. It's Red News Podcast 106. And everyone is smiling, which is always a great start. We've just smashed Spurs. And I will say, I did make this point during the game to my wife. Even if it had stayed 1-1, I felt the way we approached it, the way we went for it second half, I would have been happy. So where I can moan about us and our home displays against lesser sides, it got the blood flowing. And that for me is what United are all about. And it's very rare, with all this falseness behind closed doors bollocks, to actually get into the game so much. And the whole second half, and I tell you, you know, for all the criticism we give Ollie, sometimes deserved, a lot of it warranted, it's about learning and education. And where we criticised them for PSG when Fred picked up and we said he was a red card waiting to happen, what I like to see, the development, the learning. We had a lot of players today and Thursday, whether it was deliberate and well played to get them suspended, but a lot of players on yellow cards. And it didn't seem, you know, when McTominay got it first, I thought, oh, we could be at worry. VAR just fucking, we could be endlessly. I'll leave that to Shane. Right, so I'm going to go on. The first thing, you'll be glad to know, Nick's not throwing Stella cans at the wall, but apparently he's on gin. I feel this isn't a podcast now. It's almost an intervention for Nick we're on. on a God, Sunday night.
It's Man United times, aren't they? As I said last Sunday.
We'd better not probe.
It depends, doesn't it, if it's the first half of Always Man United or the second half of Always Man United. And if it's the first half,
right,
you need all the drinks.
But before you say anything, I appreciate that Nick's gone up market with his gin and tonic, but there's no need for a fucking monocle as well.
So I would I'm gonna go on to Shane. We've got a full house. Shane, Nathan, Nick, Ben, Coggy. Cheers for all of you, because I know you're all half between the lines. Is it between the lines? What's it called again?
Behind Line of Duty.
Line of Duty. With the ICF are attacking the MIBs down the AC-12s with the Dr. Martins. So thanks for missing all that. When I tell jokes, it just flat, doesn't it? There's never a thing. But I will say the butterfly effect of the universe that since Shane added Royal Correspondence to My Martis and Pantos, Nicholas Witcher has just been everywhere, but we'd better not mention anything else for fear of editing that will go on for endless. So let's just leave that Nicholas Witcher is now everywhere since Shane mentioned it. But I will say, look, my point last week when I was moaning was that I just want to see United play good football, and the whole attitude and the mentality, we've got it in us. Now, the tweaks with Pogba further forward today worked. Henderson, play him, worked. But the fair play for Ollie, the second half, the change in approach, Wan-Bissaka going forward, now obviously he's got a lot to work on. But you could tell Spurs didn't know how to handle it because he put Son on him and more and then Son were drifting so back. We made them impotent. So it just felt Cavani up for it where we hadn't felt he was. And you just see Cavani a week fitter where you think, fuck me, if we had him younger. It goes back. I just want Ollie backed in this summer. We could all say the same. Back him this summer and give us a chance. But today, to feel like everyone, was United. You know, you look afterwards, not the people who go, "Oh, I'm wanting United to lose," because they're not rational. They're only doing it. The culture is if you're the loudest and make the most noise, you get seen the most, and that's why, you know, to go on to the Red News, we want 334 to sign up to the campaign. Why it's hard? Because I think, despite all our bollocks talk, we're a bit rational, and the rational doesn't get seen and heard as much these days. It's so ignore anyone saying I want United to lose, but we are allowed to say criticisms like we did last week, and then the fist pumping, the fucking buzzing of WhatsApp groups after the game, just so happy. That's what United can do to us today. Right, so I'm going to go to first Ben, because he wasn't on last week. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Barney. Yeah. Before I get on to the positive of today, I've got a couple of moans to get out of the way.
Go on.
I feel like we can't really talk about today's game without mentioning the VAR. Just a ridiculous decision, really, in my opinion. And you know, it wasn't even the worst of the weekend. If you look at the goals Liverpool and Wolves had, even to a lesser extent, the Leeds sending off. I mean, I've written in the magazine over the last 12, 18 months that, you know, I think we've got to sort of work through the issues with VAR, and that, you know, in principle it can work, but I'm completely losing faith in it now. I think it is just ruining the game, and you're getting decisions that just wouldn't even be looked at, have been looked at otherwise. If I hear the phrase "the letter of the law" one more time, I'm going to lose my mind. So, you know, but thankfully today, all was well that ended well. But it is really kind of, you know, this phrase "ruining football," I think is, you know, is sort of ringing true at the moment. And I think it's, you know, it's got to be looked at, because it's just too many games week after week are being spoiled by these decisions. The second thing that's been bugging me is the empty stadiums now. I've just had enough of it, really. I kind of feel like, as much as I'm enjoying games at the moment, and we'll come on to today, I just want this season to be over now. You know, if we can't get back next season, I don't know if I can handle another 12 months of watching these empty stadiums. It's just, you know, and I think as we're getting closer to everything else opening up and normality, I'm finding it even harder, just kind of getting excited about games at home. Mm. And the third thing that's pissed me off this week was watching the Liverpool-Real Madrid game, believe it or not, which shouldn't have pissed me off at all, because it was a great result. But seeing like Real Madrid in that training ground, because they're using the opportunity of 12 months without fans to sort out the Bernabeu, what are the Glazers doing with Old Trafford? We're going to go back and it's going to look exactly the same as it did 18 months ago.
Yeah.
So anyway, negativity out of the way. Last few days, obviously, two really good results. That said, I thought the Granada game was a bit of a tough watch. I mean, it was a textbook European away. You know, you can't really beat 2-0 away from home, can you? So it puts us in a great position. I can't really say any more about that game. I couldn't really tell you anything about it half an hour after it finished. It was pretty boring. But today was a brilliant performance. We've talked about the VAR, but I thought we showed great character to come back from that, and also to come from behind after having that goal disallowed. And, you know, we just looked like a really quality football team at times. You know, Spurs were poor, and I think, you know, it just kind of reinforced my view that getting rid of Jose was the best thing we ever did.
Mm.
But, you know, United at times, something was just, we were quick, we were incisive, it was slick. Everyone looked up for it, it looked well drilled, you know, and you just think, why can't we play like that all the time? But, you know, it seems to be these big away games, doesn't it? You look at the City game a few weeks ago, was another really good performance. But, you know, I thought it was just, I couldn't really pick a player who didn't play well. It was good from back to front.
Yeah.
Probably special mentions for Cavani and Pogba in particular, I thought were outstanding and looked like two genuinely, you know, world-class footballers today. The issue there, I suppose, is will they both be here next season? You know, it looks like Cavani might not, and even if he is, he's an aging centre forward. So we need to look at that. You know, who's Cavani minus 5-10 years? But yeah, as you said before, Pogba putting him further forward, you know, really made the team tick today. I thought he was outstanding. And the other player that I just wanted to mention that I've been sort of really impressed with over the last few weeks since his part in that goal at West Brom is Lindelof. I think he's been playing really well alongside Maguire. to the point where I'm starting to question whether he might have a long-term future, because I've always been of the opinion that, you know, he isn't good enough and you know, we need to bring another centre-half in. But I think, you know, just a mention for him, really, because I think his performances have been really consistent over the last couple of months.
But he still costs us the goal. That's what we all know. He's got it for like 88 minutes. It's the 2 minutes or the 1 minute left. I'm just gonna
I didn't think he was entirely to blame.
He should have levered it,
picking up Son, shouldn't he, as well,
I will say the Greenwood, what the striker, well, for me it's Kane, you know, or Haaland, and United should be in for both, not like Peacock posturing, oh yeah, we're in for him. We should really be in for him, but we won't. And that's where the sadness about what's to come this summer. But the lovely bit about Greenwood's goal is, in just as he got it, I said, we're going to score here. And to have that in a striker that you haven't felt in a long, long time, Greenwood's going to score this. So that, right, then Nick and Nathan, as is their want to squabble over the price of a fucking penny sweet, were squabbling about, and I don't want it to become, let's endlessly talk about the incident, but they were arguing about, yes, it was Nathan's argument, I paraphrase, it's a flick in the face, so it is a foul. Nick's bollocks. And for me, you know, like, A, how far do we draw it back? Son is deliberately intending to go down, knowing he will hopefully get the foul. I just have no... And I'll lead you to both have it off maybe in a minute, pardon the parlance. We've got the dishwasher on. That's not my stomach after beers. I'm on water. Right, so, Nathan.
At the time, in the heat of the moment, I was like, I think that... To me, it... But that's the thing, I think the danger with VAR is that you're looking back at it over and over again in slow motion, aren't you? So when I'm watching it, and it does look like he does flick him in the face, it's like, well, as Ben says, at the letter of the law, that should be a foul. But when you think in common sense, it's like, yeah, like I was sticking up for it at the time, saying it probably is a foul, like... If it was the other way around, we'd be pissed off if Spurs had scored a goal based on that. But like you say, it's like, it, stuff like that shouldn't have to be watched over and over and over again in slow motion to prove that there was something wrong with it, was there? So I will back down on that and say that it probably was a bad decision. But yeah.
Well, so, I will give you that. The one that, like, the endless thing, the one thing I'm glad we're not there for is like today, where you celebrate a goal and the beauty of it and how well it is, and it's chalked over for a fucking little pencil flick in the face. I mean, gee, and Jose shat the bed after the thing, where he's just, you know, no one's surprised, just, but I'm so glad I'm out of it. But Nathan, I will go on to the, you know, you've obviously buzzed your tits off today. You're the one who's as sceptical as most on here about Ollie. Does it then give you, like, there are nights where I go to bed going, we might be all right, you know. You know, like, in terms of the bigger all right. And tonight is one of those nights where I'll go and go, yeah, fucking have a glass of red, Ollie. Fucking too right.
Even from the very start, whilst he's been in charge, like, I'm not putting the doubt on it. From the very start, we always did well in the big games, didn't we? So, like, but it's when it comes to a game where, like we say, we need to win something, don't we?
That's a dishwasher.
Hopefully, in the next month or so, we'll win something. And but that's the thing. I don't see it as a case of being, if we don't win the Europa League, that he gets sacked, because I still think that we're going in the right direction. But I will always have that niggling doubt, will we be able to win something until we can win something? And I think that's fair enough to say, really.
No, and that's what I think, you've got to back it up. I mean, I'm almost, the result has made me giddy. You know, I'm a typical stupid football fan, on top of the world if we win, fucking kicked in the bollocks when we're not. I think we're going to win the Europa. Where we're heading, where this is all going, and then I think it's the comparisons to 2000. I will be absolutely gutted now. I cannot see this season. You know, when we were saying about a month ago, is it going to peter out? I can't see it happening. I can't. I just don't.
Yeah, I think
we're building to something.
Firstly, like I think I said at the time about, like you mentioned before, about the were they tactical yellow cards for looking ahead? Because it did seem strange that we were getting yellow card after yellow card, and everyone that was getting them was someone who was going to miss the second leg. And like, it made me feel a bit easier when we got that second goal, thinking that we were going to be missing out on those players. But if they did set out to do that, knowing that the second leg should be comfortable to get through, meaning that those important players are going to be available in the next couple, the semi-final and the final, with no risk of being missed out, then that's brilliant.
And I will say, you know, that we've often mentioned this tactical thing, that on the side that's got a grievance, that after 40 minutes you think you've got to tune that, and he did. Whatever he did at half time, he tuned that energy and aggression into doing it. Second thing, Coggy made the point about us making fouls on our side of the pitch, and I noticed that again today. We were making little challenges that kept stopping them building play, you know. And so you think, and add, if it was that we were taking those yellow cards in the Europa, then there's a nasty, I loved seeing Ollie fuming at half time. I thought, that is, you want to see that side of him. Right, I'm going to go to Nick Coxwelling his cock over. Pardon, I will. Nick, who's going to be beyond giddy. So, Coggy, come on, mate. I couldn't even get that out. That cut, Coggy.
Yeah, okay. I have to add something that gets cut out. Just on the disallowed goal, I've got a mate who's a big Tottenham supporter, home and away, and who I respect, and he even FaceTimed me after that and said, listen, you know, if that's a foul, the game's gone completely. You know, it's and then Ben said he's got City mates and Everton and Liverpool mates who have said exactly the same. So, you know, if that sort of goal is being disallowed for that, then the game has gone completely. Look, we've played twice since the last podcast, and we've had 45 minutes of absolutely brilliant football. I thought the second half of the afternoon was absolutely tremendous. The other three halves, you know, a bit debatable. But I think today, and I don't think the Tottenham defence is particularly good, but today, Pogba being further forward and the movement of Cavani made all the difference. We weren't like a counter-attack team today. We were more intelligent with the ball in the final third, which leaves us with a major dilemma, because where do you play Pogba going forward? Okay. Because if you play him on the left, it means Rashford has to go on the right and he's ineffective. If you play him up, you know, instead of Rashford, is he going to get the goals that Rashford scores? And I know, you know, there's still doubt whether Pogba will be here next season, but if he is, does he make the team better, or does he complicate the whole situation?
Well, we've slated him for a long time, but for the last 6 months, he's been one of our best players. And I've slated Fred repeatedly, and today Fred showed the paradox of Fred, what he gives you, what he doesn't. You know, ignore, the goal was great for him. You know, I love Bruno pushing him over, like, what the fuck's that? But Gary Neville, you know, like, oh, why would he want to leave United? Come on, Gary, you know, you're ignoring the Glazers again, and all that we've been through. But if we could, but it goes back to the summer, Coggy. You know, we've not only got to buy brilliantly, we've got to spend well. And that's just the... Anyway, Nick, how is Baghdad there?
Baghdad?
the comical alley last week, sorry.
where do you want me to start? Do you want me to start with Granada, or do you want me to start with my first half notes or my second half notes? Because my notes changed massively, because I was ready to jump off the top of my roof at half time. First of all, if we want to start from chronologically, I mean, I thought the Granada game, I agree with what Ben said, it was very much a tough watch, but, you know, you know exactly how I feel about Ole, and I thought it was very much a case of, we knew we could get through from not getting out of second gear against a team that are, what, about 15th or something in the table in La Liga, that, you know, they're not a great side. And I thought he wanted simple football, not to get tired, not to get injured, to go through, everyone get the yellow cards. You know, if we go through on Thursday night, you know, we should be looking at that game as a success. You know, 2-0 in Europe is a great performance.
Yeah, but Nick, do you see my... I don't think anyone is. But do you see the nuances to the why I can be frustrated at home to Brighton, but I don't mind if it's a fucking methodical shite display if you win 2-0 in Europe. That's the nuances of why I can moan at specific occasions, I think, are justified. That Granada, 2-0, great. But at Brighton, these home games, why we keep stuttering, that's where you want to see improvement. Sorry, Nick. You, in the podcast last week, you muttered something that ended with "bald bastard." Can you please clarify what you were aiming my way?
Well, I do feel sometimes that, Barney, that when you write in the magazine saying you really want things to work with Ole, and then we come on the podcast and everything that you say is very much against Ole, it kind of annoys me a little bit. No. So that's kind of why I called you out a little bit.
No.
And I was sat there thinking, well, I look at things like the way that things have gone since the podcast, and I think, you know, if we look at the last 7 days, we came from behind at Brighton. All right, we shouldn't have been behind, and that's fair enough. And the performance wasn't great, fair enough. We managed against Granada without breaking sweat, I thought that was a great professional performance. As I said, I think he wanted simple football, no tiredness, no yellow cards, and we got through from that. And I look at today at half-time, and I went for a week at half-time, and I said to the missus, she went, how's it going at half-time? And I went, we need a fucking big reaction at half-time. And I said, I think we'll get one. And I said to you lot in the group, I said, you can see United's heads are going, and it was going to go one or two ways. It's either going to be a case of, you could see Bruno kicking off, there was petulant fouls, they were all moaning at the referee after the goal went in. And, you know, Coggy's right, you know, if that's a foul from VAR, then the game's completely gone. It's the most ridiculous thing on VAR that I think I've ever probably seen so far at all. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. You know, Ole could have been cost by that today, and everyone would have been like, you know, chastising. But you look at the reaction that you get out the second half, and today, you know, he should be being heralded as a tactical genius. The way we played and the way he set us up in the second half was fucking phenomenal.
No, I get that. But Nick, phenomenal.
It was absolutely brilliant. And Nick, I think a lot of people, again, are not going to give him the credit that he deserves today. You know, the way we came out in the second half, and you said last week, and what you said to me, what really annoyed me last week, actually, and I thought about this last Sunday, Barney, and this is one thing that really pissed me off, is he said, you can't see an identity developing with Ole. And that wound me up a little bit, and I thought, no, there is definitely a massive identity. No, is there a style of play, is what you said.
A style of play. I didn't say identity. So you're putting what I said, style of play, not identity, because I know what Ollie's doing off the pitch. I know he's changing the makeup of the side.
And it wound me up, and I've been doing all week is thinking about that. And I was like, but the problem is, though, is that we've got so many different styles of play. When you play with someone like Cavani up front, or you play with Martial, Greenwood and Rashford up front, it's a totally different game. And today, the same 11, I looked at it and I thought, oh, Cavani's starting today. And it's a totally different style of play from what we want. And to be fair to Gary Neville, in the first half today, he does wind me up a little bit on commentary sometimes, because he can be a little bit pro the opposition. But he said two great points in the first half there that really made me think. The first point, and I wrote these down at half time because I was fuming. The first one is he put down, he said, Aaron Wan-Bissaka has had no partnership to build up with any other member in the team. He can't get forward enough because he can't build up a rapport. Martin Tyler said to him, his exact words were, he's hardly Gary Neville and David Beckham. We're not going to expect that combination, that's fair enough. But he's right, though. He's had no combinations built up with him on the right-hand side. And then secondly, as well, he both said that Rashford and Aaron Wan-Bissaka have both got no forward pass. Now, I'll go back to the point. What I said to you last Sunday on the podcast was that Greenwood is a better footballer than Marcus Rashford. He's definitely a better footballer. And today, he came off the bench, he got an assist and scored a goal. I think Marcus Rashford is a fantastic footballer. I don't want to say that he's not. But Mason Greenwood is definitely, without a doubt, a better footballer than Marcus Rashford.
Nick,
and today, he proved that point today.
Nick,
and he backs up Ole that he should be playing for us. And from the start of football, he's in our best 11 without a question.
I agree.
About it.
But what I would say is, if we did a video of this, you would look like an MP giving an answer on question time. So what I'm trying to say to you is, I agree with that. What I said was style of play, not identity. But can you just listen to the next bit? I get, and I love that you are totally Ollie is it. I get that. I take the piss, the comical alley. But what I'm trying to say, I think you're lumping any of us who have doubts or raise issues in with the Ollie outers online. And that's not right. Because we're not saying, I don't think any of us have said, before Everton away, we thought it might be the end for him. Some massive kudos to Ollie to get back to this point. But I'm allowed to say that you know, I do think there's an overreaction. We've won, what, 5 out of the last 6? So, you know, that it gets lost in the haze. But I don't think performances have been good. The second half today should be a benchmark. You are better than most sides you come across. The results are better. But I think you're lumping in anyone who says at times there are doubts about Ollie. All I'm saying is I keep saying it, I want it to succeed. Hand on heart, do I think it will succeed? I don't know. But I want to see in a year's time. I so want us to win the Europa. I think we will win the Europa. But I think you lump us in with doubts, with the people who wind you up online who are just going, Ollie out. No?
Not you personally, but because I know how you are when you're in the mic, and I read the stuff that you put in there, and I don't think that's what it is. And, you know, I listen to Shane, and I'm sure Shane will come on in a little bit, and he'll tell about how Ollie's the second coming, like I will do, because, you know, I lean on Shane for a bit of pro Ollie positivity, but, and I can see him smiling away. But, you know, that's the thing. I look at today and I just think, how can the man not get praised?
But we are.
The shit, then call him out.
But we are.
But it's like, it will always come back. It will always back to this. Even if we go on a win of 10 matches in a row, people will still question the manager and still call him a PE teacher.
Yeah, but that, when of any of us? But Nick, that's what I mean.
The turnaround in the second half was fucking fantastic.
And all of us agree with you.
45 minutes today that we've played all season.
I agree. Probably in two or three years. But are any of us disagreeing with you? Has anyone ever here called him a PE teacher? That's what I mean. Right, we're better. 26 minutes in, we're over to Windsor and our Royal correspondent, Nicholas Witchell. Hello, Shane.
Don't get me onto Royal correspondence. It was a bad weekend for that. Yeah, and obviously I'm very sympathetic to the thing, but yeah, a weekend of Phil Collins and foreign on label had me fucking done for, to be honest with you.
Right, come on then.
I'm with Nick in the sense that Ollie's, and me included, we've given him a lot of criticism about substitutions, about his tactical response in games when teams sit back. Today, as the others have said, you know, it was clear to see there was a lot of anger from the players and Ollie about that decision. And, you know, it could, as Nick said, it could have gone one of two ways. It could have gone pear-shaped with the discipline. But I think McTominay said in his post-match, you know, that Ollie just told him all to calm down and, you know, And what I thought the second half, what pleased me most, it looked like an angry performance, but it looked like a controlled angry performance. It looked like, you know, imagine if we were there today, that United end. It was real classic United defiance, coming out, all guns blazing, a bit like Fergie style. You know, we won't let the refs, we won't let these bad decisions stop us winning. And that defiance today, that has to come from Ollie. The only person at half, the only difference between the anger that was uncontrolled in the last sort of 15 minutes of that first half to what happened in the second half was Ollie giving him a chat. So we've got to give him credit for that. I thought everyone played well today. I thought it was a brilliant response. I thought Pogba was absolutely superb. You know, I called him out before for his lack of effort. I thought it was really superb. Fred played well. I've given him grief before. Again, I guess, obviously, don't like watching on the telly. And I'm with Ben, you know, 100%. I've had enough now of the telly stuff. You know, it's lost. It's, you know, as Ben said, you know, as stuff gets back to normal, in some ways I feel worse about football, as Ben does. You know, I really want to sort of miss it more now. But you look today at Cavani, and it was a class performance. And Ollie said something in his post-match that he'd had to talk to the players before about recognising Cavani's movement, that they haven't been played to Cavani's movement. I thought they did today. You know, they played to his strengths. So that's Ollie having an influence, you know, and we often call him out for the bad stuff. So I thought it was good. Henderson today, the noticeable thing with Henderson was he was really quick off his line a couple of times, really decisive out, and he really commands his box. And you could actually hear him shouting at the players. And he's obviously, you know, whether he's ultimately got the ability to sustain at the top, I think he probably has, but he's definitely got the mentality for it, I think. So I think everything was positive today. And we've sort of said through this sort of shitty year, you've got to enjoy the moments. And today's one where you just fist pump, enjoy the moment, proper United away performance. I thought that, you know, everyone's been a bit critical of the Granada game. I actually thought it was a very good performance. I thought they were the masters. They knew their deficiencies and they played very, you know, typical snidey fouls, kind of spoiling the game, really. And I thought in the face of that, it was quite a measured performance from players. All right, it was a bit lucky, you could argue, to get the second goal, you know, penalty decision itself, and the keeper probably should have stopped it, but nevertheless, I think 2-0 away from home, like, I know they might not be the standard
European
opposition you want to be facing, but you can't argue with that 2-0 away from home. So I think, you can't find fault with this week at all. It's superb.
And I will say, I miss it, desperately. I thought, imagine that atmosphere again. The away's not for 23 away games, the buzz we'd have had not to lose. But I did feel it got the blood. I had an energy. I didn't think about the why. But then I am going to a zoo this week and I'm treating it like a week for Barcelona in 99. I'm actually doing something. I'm so... And then I'm in a pub this week. Or,
I went for... I had to go for a medical thing with work in back on Tuesday. And I was having a prostate examination and the doctor was talking way to me.
That came out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting this.
It's actually like, this is how crap the year's been. It's actually quite a treat to get out of the house to have someone stick their hand up your arse. I mean, it's like, that's how
Shane,
bad it's been.
Shane, are you sure it was a doctor's appointment?
It wasn't a doctor's appointment, I'm
sure, like everyone, did you all see the Real Madrid manager after he won the trophy come on and get the shirt and sing? For me, that's what football is. Nick?
It wasn't Real Madrid manager, was it?
No, Real Sociedad. Sorry, did I say Madrid? But in coming on and fucking showing passion, that is what football is. So, Nick, I'm allowed to bounce around. As long as it's not the online universe, we're all allowed to bounce around. But all of us, look at us, we're all happy. So sometimes I think... we do get on your case sometimes, and you are passionate, which I love. You see an end result that if we're all there, can you imagine? Like, you dig out Nathan. What has Nathan repeatedly said? The time we had in Stockholm. Can you imagine if we're in a final in a year's time, all together back, and it's Ollie? Everyone's going to buzz their tits off that. So we have to separate the people who've got concerns from the wilder, Ollie outers that are just bonkers. Right, before, then I want you all to talk because I'm in. Right, first thing, fuck off COVID, a bit of normality. Come on. Second, Debbie, long-time bar of the mag, sending best regards. And third, we are now about a week and a half from the sub-campaign. 334. If you have the ability to keep Red News going, please do. Right, who wants to go on, lump in?
Can I just say, Shane and Nick saying about, I don't know what Ollie said at half-time, but he was absolutely superb. To be honest, I believe all he said was, fucking hell, lads, it's only Tottenham. and that's what did it. And so I take up Nick on Greenwood, and I'm not disputing what you say about Greenwood. I think he's a fantastic player, and he showed how good he is today. But it's not him or Rashford, is it? You say Rashford Christos on the bench. Rashford's a player, the first player since Rooney, I believe, that scored 20 goals in consecutive seasons for us. And I know he's got certain areas of his game he needs to improve on. But he has been invaluable in that position for us in the last couple of seasons. And I don't think it's a case of, if we've got Greenwood in the team, we can't have Rashford. I think the problem is, if we've got Pogba in the team, to get the best out of Pogba, he takes up the Rashford position. But I think you're reducing what Rashford's actually put into the team last 2 years.
Rashford's been carrying an injury for a long time now, hasn't he? Like, he came off again.
You could tell.
He looks like he's hobbling half the time he's on the pitch at the moment.
Yeah. Well, he's got an opportunity now. You'd say Thursday, hopefully, rest. Burnley, rest. And then, as I tweeted, we've got that, because me and Ben have been talking so much, if we could stop Liverpool making the top four, we've got an opportunity, but that's dead in the middle of the Europa semis.
Plus Rashford can feed Ollie's son.
But that's, did anyone, Jose spy? You just thought, he's doing what he does, and maybe he'll win the League Cup, and I'm sure we all want him to win that and stop them, but you're just a bitter. He's not a nice man, is he?
Going back to Wally, and I don't want to get too giddy, but again, we've talked about, I have, and I think we all have, that when you appoint Ole, you've got to accept that he's not the finished article and he's going to be learning on the job, so to speak. Now, I know press conferences are not the be-all and end-all, but let's be honest, some of Ollie's press conferences early days, when we were getting bad results, going through bad patches, were a bit gibberish, probably more, well, not as much as me, but they were gibberish nevertheless. But he's kind of like, in the recent months and weeks, he's clearly much more measured and he's much more calculated in his press conferences. Now, it's easy when you're winning, of course, but, you know, like today he was, you know, I think he's improved on and off the pitch, Ole, immeasurably. And that improvement curve is showing that he has, in my view, warranted getting more time. And I think today was classic, though. You know, Mourinho's a formidable opponent as a young manager. And not only did he sort of think him on the pitch, he sort of, you know, to wind him up, that was music to my ears today. Mourinho couldn't miss in his second sort of official match conference, couldn't resist having a pop to try and detract from his players. And that, you mean, Ole's won it, you know?
Yeah.
He's got twice.
Well, that was Italian Renaissance art, the picture of Ollie with Shaw and there's Jose's spited face.
Yeah.
That was just fucking beautiful.
Well, Ben had a go at me because I shared that in every single group that I'm in. But I also posted it on Instagram with a soundtrack to Hello Darkness, My Old Friend, and it just worked perfectly.
But that's. But it goes on the wider point, you know.
But there's Mourinho giving lectures on niceness to Ole. You know what I mean? Like, fuck off.
But the Jose thing, you know, over old ground, had to do it, and you win a trophy with him, then it becomes, you know, however it ended, thanks for the Europa and thanks for the League Cup, and you did regain a bit. We felt good at that point. Let us not fucking go down that road again this summer where we're still stuttering around in the last few minutes, you know?
But he did, you know, like, the other thing with Mourinho today is, like, you know, I was actually thought he should have followed Ferguson, you know, thought he was one to shoulder it. But what it did show today was it's the same old predictable tactics, Mourinho. You go in front, and then I think Richards called it out on the TV today. He just then tried to sit back and defend for
I mean Jamie Redknapp destroyed Mourinho today, didn't he? In the
post-match
interview.
I switched off. I can't be doing with all that, so I switched it off and just glowed.
I think Nick said about bringing Lo Celso off the Sissoko.
I thought he was brilliant today, Lo Celso. I thought he was making a massive difference for Spurs. He was good to watch. I was sat there thinking he'd slot into, and obviously, you know, it's not really too much to say, but he'd slot into Army film perfectly. I thought he did a great job for them. Really did. The thing is with Mourinho is that it's probably time that he leaves the Premier League now. You know, I agree with you. You know, he did a great service, won us two trophies. I know Nathan will be fuming with that because he hated him more than anybody. But, you know, he won us two trophies and I was happy with that. But he's someone that will probably go back to Italy or maybe, and he'll go to like an AC Milan or something like that. And, you know, he'll be a hero there. You know, that's what he's absolutely primed and prepped for. He could get them into the Champions League. He could get them to be a real force. You look at what he did with Inter Milan. That football's still fashionable over there on the continent. Yeah. And, you know, he could do a real job over there. But his time in the Premier League has probably come to an end. I would love to think that Ole's ended that for him. And I'll leave that there.
I think the way that players are now, you either, as I've said many times, you either buy in completely to it. And if there's fault lines, then he's absolutely fucked the way he is. I wonder if there was a maths equation, the hatred that Nathan has for Jose compared to the love that Nick has for Ollie, how that would be in a pie chart or something. Where would the scales of... Right, come on, Ben, you haven't...
Yeah, I mean, I think just to pick up on the style of play debate that you were having before, you know, I think it's a fair point that at times that it's still difficult to see. I mean, I think the frustration is that there's performances like the second half today, like City a few weeks ago, Milan. There have been a lot of good performances, and often they come against some of the supposed top coaches. So, you know, I think he certainly kind of proved himself. You know, he's got a good record against Guardiola, people like that. But it, you know, to challenge for league titles and Manchester United, that needs to be more consistent. It needs to be week in, week out. All right, not every single game, but, you know, I think like Coggy said before, you know, the last two games, which we're all happy with, but really there was only 45 minutes, you know, one half out of four, where the actual performance was impressive in my opinion. So I think, you know, there's definitely reasons to be positive, and without a doubt, he's done enough to earn another season. But I think, you know, we've still got to find that greater consistency.
Yeah. I kept feeling we'd encounter a hurdle certainly after Christmas, you know, it's coming, but it hasn't, which deserves much praise. You know, to lose only four games in the league, to have no pre-season, and that run goes even further back to since restart. You know, since Burnley, like the thing, is there progress? If you go back to Burnley home when I was so bereft January last year.
100% there is, yeah. Well, not just Burnley, but the autumn, if you think back to the autumn of last season, which I know is difficult to remember when we actually used to go to games, but what would have been the 1920s season, like those defeats to West Ham and teams like that in the autumn, we were dreadful. Mm. We looked completely rudderless. So it's come a long way. But I think, as I've said before, I think this sort of last step is going to be the hardest, because whilst we have come a long way, if you watch like Bayern Munich and PSG and teams like that, I still think there's still a big gap between us and the real top teams.
I dance with the fear a lot, and I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, and my fear is if he doesn't get backed, then you've got the optimum, like Jose, that he could with this squad. You know, you don't get better than where we are now with this squad. It doesn't then go, right, we're now on a learning curve. This squad as is goes on. You know, I just don't. And it's not a criticism, Nick. You know, do you get what I'm saying? Like, I want, when Ben says he wants 90 minutes and I want to see home performances improve, that's not pissing on today's parade. It's just saying we have to get more.
But the question is,
you know, but the same time is, though, is that when you're on the second best away Premier League record that's ever happened ever, you know, and we're 4 points away from making progress from last season's, you know, Premier League points total, then, you know, no, I don't get it. I'll be honest with you. I think that there's a massive progress that's coming in there. And when we probably didn't spend as well as what we should have done last summer, yeah, I know we spent money in the squad and that's fair enough. But when we didn't buy the right players, and we know we're capable of buying the right players under this leadership at the moment, when you've got players like, you know, people like Ole, and you've got people like Aaron Fletcher and Mick Phelan that know the right players at United quality. No, I don't think that we should just accept things like that. I think that, you know, we've got the people there that know that this club can kick on. We know exactly where the weaknesses are. They know exactly what they need to do to rectify it. And, you know, until they're given the time to see that through, then no, I'll be defensive as hell. Damn right. Because until they've got the players that they want and they see fit for their vision and they're forced to play fucking garbage people like Martial up front, then yeah, I'm going to moan about it.
He's injured. He's not even played.
I don't give a shit if you want to play. Because this was the best football we've seen all season and that cunt wasn't on the fucking pitch.
I love the way, ultra defensive. If you say anything about Ollie, he's fucking got this pram and he's throwing the fucking things out, then Martial gets absolutely slated.
Nick, can I ask you a question? Because I understand what you're saying, that, you know, you shouldn't be really judging Ollie until he gets the players that he wants. What's the score with Donny van der Beek? Is he an Ollie player that he wanted? Because if he's not, then he might not get the players that he wants in the summer. Other people might be making the decisions. And if he is the player he wanted, why isn't he playing him?
I almost feel like Van der Sar was the kind of person that sort of drove to Manchester and said to all, like, you need to sign fucking somebody, pull your fucking finger out, you're not signing any bastard yet. And that's almost kind of what it was. I don't know, I mean, we obviously needed a centre midfield player. I don't think anyone can still argue that now, you know, from where we are. I know Fred played well today and McTominay was great as well. But yeah, I can't figure that out. I think that you need to be more than a football genius to figure out what Van der Beek. But to be fair to him, is that when he's played, he's hardly set the world alight. And people keep saying that he wants to play every week, and every other sinning. He's been very underwhelming.
Do you know what I like about him, though?
It feels to me that signing came from just, it felt like it was Ed Woodward thinking, I need to make a signing because obviously there's people turning up outside my house and stuff like that. And pressure to sign someone. And at the time, he was one of the ones that was being linked in the press and stuff. He's a good player.
Yeah.
And I feel like he was just an easy one to sign.
But it is
nothing to do with Ole. I generally don't think it was anything to do with Ole, that opinion.
Right, okay. Well, in his defence, though, I would say he has been underwhelming when he's played, but he's played in cup teams where we've made six, seven, eight changes. And so, he, if he has better players around him, I think he could have been better.
I like the way he's still happy.
You're just looking at Lingard, don't you? He's, well, yeah. If we bring him in
into the conversation. He's looking brilliant at the moment, but is that just because he's having
he's
a
found
game
his level? He's found
he
his
knows
level.
That he can play every week.
And he's found his level without the pressures of United.
But my point is, if Nick is saying you've got to trust Ole until he's got the players that he wants, the club have shown that they'll buy players that he doesn't want.
Yeah.
Then my worry is that'll happen in the summer, and Ollie will give him a list of A, B, and C, and Edward will buy M, N, and O, and something like that. So
then what's the point in Fletcher?
Do you ever get the players that he wants?
We don't know, do we?
What's the point in Fletcher though?
We don't know whether Van der Beek is Ollie signing or not. No one knows that for sure. So you know, you can look at that one or two ways, can't you?
You can say he's picked a dud,
or you know, he's had a player forced on him that he didn't want. We don't actually know the answer to that.
I think it was.
I'm going to go back to your point, Barney, about like if it comes to the summer and can Ole get this squad if he doesn't get the signings. I think, like, at the end of the day, like that's not an Ole or is it worth keeping Ole question. That's the wider thing at the club. And at the end of the day, the facts at the moment are Ole has turned this group of players into the second best team in the country behind a very, very good City team who have got money to burn. And you kind of think, like, I think people are a little bit deluded if they think another, like, people can come in and make more out of this squad than second best to City. Yeah. I honestly do, and I think so if the club back Ole or not, it's kind of irrelevant to the managerial decision. It's a case of that's... Yeah. I know we promised you wouldn't say it, that's where we are, but under the current ownership and the...
45 minutes.
Ev, you know, that... And I think people confuse things with, like, oh, can this squad kick on? But I don't think that's an Ole question. I think that's a broader thing in the club, and it's a bit unfair to let that out. I think it's pretty incredible that Ole, being with the experience he's got, I must admit, I had my doubts, has driven this club to be the second best.
Yeah.
Well, this team, it's not where we want to be, but that's, you know, he's done very well to do that. So I think it's a bit ludicrous, really, to be talking about someone coming in and being able to better that. I don't think anyone could better that.
No, but...
We've had multiple players, multiple managers. We had Van Gaal, we had Mourinho, two top managers. They haven't been able to get better than this. All right, Mourinho got a second in one season, fair enough. Liverpool were off at that stage. But, you know, Ollie's got to see this season through and get to second.
But Shane, he's got to win the Europa as well. Let's be honest. We still got
That's the key. Those managers you've just mentioned, and I want Ollie to succeed. They did win trophies. So there is a slight difference there. They have actually won trophies when they were United managers, and I just worry that he won't get the support in the summer. And you know, and I think we are heading in the right direction. I think Ole has done a tremendous job. I'm just concerned that we won't get the support in the summer.
Well, I think that's inevitable in a way, because we've had several years of not getting support that they want.
Well, do you notice how it goes? It goes quiet when we're winning runs, that the Glazer talk, almost apart from, you know, the hardcore of us who realise what they are, that it goes quiet and the emphasis shifts. And what I'm saying is, Shane, I think the wider online lunatics about Ole have distorted that we can't have a balanced conversation. Is how far can he take us? Will he take us? You know, I think you take Roma, or it could be Ajax still, semi-final, you win this, you opener. I will say that the Fletcher bit, Nick, I think that's a good appointment, but I think there was a Reader Phillips saying the point that he's a technical director and still part of the first team coach makes it a little bit difficult to make the harder decisions that he may have to in that role. And I think there should be a separation, that if he's going to be a technical director, if he's going to, you know, I think you can get too close in that dressing room if you're going to make harder decisions. And what, you know, like, if... Let the fear go, Pogba, Cavani, you know, but let the fear go that we get money for De Gea, we get money in, you know, buy wisely. Then I'm really fucking happy.
What is his remit as technical? I don't know what a technical director is in a football club.
I don't think any of us know what's, you know, the Murtagh suggestion. I will say, we had in the mag, I think we'll get the Ollie this month, we'll get the Ollie confirmation of his contract renewal, and that will bring a bit of stability in terms of the. It just calms everything down. He is here, all being well, for another year or two. Go on, who wants to? I've got a question for you, Coggy. Sorry, one question. I was going through my old notes. The playing squad, 1970-71. had 31 players in it. How many, and this says how football's changed, how many had we signed from other clubs?
Probably back then.
Not at that season. It was a total of 7. Stepney from Chelsea, Tony Dunn from Shelburne, Creran from Celtic, Ian Ure from Arsenal, David Sadler from Maidstone, Dennis Law obviously back from Torino, and Willie Morgan from Burnley. And the rest, and it just goes to show how that core, if you even take it back to 68, how many had come through the whole system at United. I found that incredible, really. Right, that's apropos of absolutely fucking nothing. I wanted to ask you. Right, who wants to go? Come on, I keep...
Randomly, my dad went to school with David Sadler. But anyway, random facts. But yeah, I get your point, Barney. I get your point that the, like, I do understand he's got to win a trophy, and I do understand there's a difference between questioning whether Ole's going to kick on versus the kind of the stuff you get on Twitter. And I do get that, but I just feel as though it's very hard to. I'm a bit baffled why anyone can't think like, and it, people do judge on the league. That's what he's been told to do by his paymasters. So at the end of the day, I think it's very difficult to see anyone getting more than second out of this current club. But yeah,
I think everyone would agree with that.
I think we will win, but I'm with you. I think we've got a massive chance in Europa. I'm like, going back to the Ben's point earlier, I'm like, obviously want to see us win it, desperate to see Ollie win a trophy, but it will be bittersweet. You know, not being able to go will be gutting, I think. And I've kind of had enough now with the behind closed door stuff. It is pretty soulless. I avoided ranting about Barnes. I didn't want any negativity, but like the whole episode today summed up modern football, didn't it? It was the case of Son, like, his theatrics were just pathetic. It was like, yeah, it was embarrassing, really. And I think Nathan's right. Look, the problem with VAR is people say it's not VAR's ref decisions, but VAR puts a microscope on every bit of the game. That means the ref then doesn't have a choice, because in slow motion, like, it's technically a foul, blah, blah, blah. And that's the thing that's killing it. And I think we don't need that kind of microscope on little incidents like that. You know, it was, the whole thing was pathetic today. And the fact that the player that went down and then two referees both concurring that deserves to be a disallowed goal is pretty... I actually considered switching off. Thank God I didn't.
But that's what someone said. You go from fuming to absolutely giddy as fuck on top of a chair. That is football, and that is United. But what it will do, Shane, is encourage every player to go down. There's no encouragement.
I think he'd already been encouraged to do that. I think he knew that if he went down and it led to a goal, there was a good chance he'd get pulled back and the goal would get run out. And you wouldn't, you know, put it past Jose to be telling his players to do that, would you?
It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy that they all start now being even worse at diving and making the most of any minimal... Nick looks like he's angry that he's going to start taking pot shots at us. We've riled you up, Nick. You should be...
Let's not ignore that. Like, Rashford went down when he was kicked holding his face earlier in the game. We're not immune from it ourselves. Like, and
that's the interesting point, because I think he was touched around his neck area, but refs will only stop a game if they think it's a head injury. So it doesn't matter whether they get kicked in the ankle or the knee, they'll hold the head, because that way referees will stop the game. And that's why the game's lost, basically, because, you know, players are just cheating to get rid
of the whole fucking thing and just do goal line technology. Fuck it off.
I would love to say Cavani looked proper angry at the end. Yeah. When he went off at the end, even when after we won it, and I thought, like, listen, you're not going to be here next season. Just put your foot through that screen. Go on, do it. Yeah, that
Or starts attacking Jose. That would have been great. Like, starts hold. Come on, Nick.
Am I allowed to give some positivity? Am I going to get shouted at that again?
Oh, God.
I tell you what, I preferred him on Stella. He's very impressive on Jenny.
He's taken out.
I feel like someone's got to stick up and pull a role. Like, you know, I'm looking at the last week and I think, Jesus Christ.
No one is saying anything. I think you're hearing voices.
I've been slagging him off and I've been up a little bit. And a little bit.
I think
on Twitter today, I get very annoyed when I go on Twitter. I think it makes me very bitter.
But that's what I mean.
Nick, what time the tram home, Nick? Have you got to go and get the tram? No, I don't have to get the tram tonight. I'm thankful that Nathan's not shoved me outside when I'm Kazakhstan away in his back garden.
That was the best.
Makes me feel a lot better.
But that's
people moving down the platform, kind of away from him.
That'll be optimism, that at least it won't be the same. It'll be horrible. But if we are in the final, we'll be able to watch it together in little groups, in pubs. That'll be a little bit of encouragement. I will say, Nick, I think you are actually hearing voices that they're going, they're slagging Ollie off again.
You keep slagging me off. You keep giving me individual digs. They're like, oh, well, Nick's pro all night. Oh, and he's pro all night. And it's not me slagging. It's not you slagging off Ollie. It's you slagging off me.
It's not.
Directly. And it's like, if I say something to you a bit like, oh, we're actually doing all right here, it's like, no, we're not. Fucking calm down. We're second and we're in the European quarterfinal. It's like, Jesus Christ.
I admire it.
And even with me, you kind of said, we're going to have Windsor.
I'm
not allowed to respond to it. Oh, yeah. He is doing that. Thank you, Shane. And this
look at now.
He's the fucking voice of reason on this podcast. And he's having a laugh. It's actually Shane that's actually the voice of reason on this podcast.
Oh, here we go.
Give me that. This is why I called you a bald bastard last week. Don't call you a bald bastard. Simmer down. The last week has been fantastic. We've come from behind against Brighton, a simple performance against Granada, and today we've had fantastic football. You know, I don't really know what you can. The one thing I will say about the players today that did annoy me about the VAR decision that we didn't mention before, it does wind me up why our players don't surround the ref. I don't know why we don't do that enough. It's almost like we've got a squad full of nice people where it's like, we can't.
I still
like it when you surround the ref. That initial pressure, I still think it's good. I still think it makes a difference. It might be psychological, but I still wish we did that. It shows
might,
so much more about the character of our team.
VAR, but it doesn't make a difference now, does it?
I still think it does. I disagree, and I still think it does. But one thing I will say today, one of the nice positives is, I think it was difficult to pick a man of the match today. You know, I think if people picked a man of the match very, very easily, and I think if we go around and ask all six of us now, and I'd like to do that, who we all pick as man of the match, I bet we all come up with a few different responses. I know you mentioned Fred before, Barney, and he played very well today. But I want to give a special shout-out to Paul Pogba because I thought he was absolutely outstanding. I thought, we talk about a 90-minute performance, and even as the first 45 minutes, I thought he was good in the first half. I thought he was terrific today. He looked well up for it. And a special shout out as well. I know Cavani got given the man of the match as well. But what he did, I don't know if anyone saw it at the full time whistle when it was blown, is that he actually gave the biggest Ole fist pump I've ever seen. He could see the veins in his arms. It was like so passionate.
Cavani,
he was like full on, like, you know, he looked like he was going to break down. Like, he was so
Cavani
excited.
It
wouldn't surprise me if he
stopped
for block. Another year.
Yeah, what I loved.
He was great, yeah, and he was a good header. Yeah, he did well, yeah.
What I loved was,
I thought it was good, and I thought it was nice, and I think if anyone's listening to this, go back and just watch the full-time whistle get blown and watch Cavani's reaction, because I thought that was quite interesting. And anyone says that people like Pogba doesn't want to be here or Cavani doesn't want to be here and they want to leave, I thought today, in that second half, was a good blueprint, really, to say that they could still be here next year.
Well, did you see that? I thought Henderson, but to the assurity, not as man of the match, but just I thought big questions, big game, made me feel confident. The second thing, where there's again the nuances, Ollie said Cavani's not with his family properly. He's in lockdown. He's not felt entirely comfortable since the ban. You know, it's not a problem in the dressing room, but it's his life around. So you think that's fair enough. You know, you can't force. I will say we're going to VAR and, yeah, they're deciding that Nick is being overly aggressive this podcast. Right, sorry, go on, Nathan. I love you.
I think today, like I say, first half, we looked sleepy. We needed something to happen, like them scoring for us to kick on. But after that point, we were brilliant to a man. Like, there's literally no one that I could really complain about, really, because that's what I usually do. looking forward to the next, is it a Thursday for the Granada game?
Yeah.
Looking forward to that with Nick, Ben's booked the table.
Happy day.
For OJ's in town, like outdoor to watch the game for that. So looking forward to that. So
excellent.
Right, Cobby. Yeah. Go on. It's an hour goes so quick.
I just want to endorse what the other lads have said about, like, you know, it's watching football in empty stadiums, it's doing my head in. So, when we do get back to normality and crowds are in stadiums, I'd like to take Nick to Spain to a bull fight. So 40,000 people are going, ole, ole, 2 minutes.
Can I come to that? I'll definitely be there.
I'm taking you.
I'm going to hold you to that, Coggy. I'll be bringing my own banner as well. But I have to say that Nathan and Barney probably won't want to come because they're a little bit pessimistic about the whole
away experience. Excuse me.
And when we're lifting the Europa League trophy in Gdansk, I can't wait to shove it down both their fucking
mouths. Excuse me, Nick. Who has said we're going to win
bastards.
It?
Stop it, you miserable bastard. Stop it.
We're going to win it.
Say a nice thing, Nick. I'm getting annoyed now.
We're going to win it, Nick.
Like they always say about Stella, the white beer is gin. It's gin that I
that's why.
I think I joked at the start, this is time for an intervention on Nick Sunday night drinking.
To try and bring it back to me about
being
picked on about
all
this is
my
defensive. You tell
him, Shane. It sounds like Nick's infusion for this podcast, I think, is getting punished. But there's a good point there that you made, Nick, about the fact that it's hard to pick a man in the match. I agree, I would pick Pogba. But the most important thing for me is it wasn't about Bruno today. Bruno didn't make a difference. We usually over relied on Bruno with a bit of magic. The magic came from all the other players today. I think Bruno actually had one of his.
Yeah, he was decent.
It wasn't one of his better games. I thought Greenwood was superb when he came on as well. I thought Pogba was man in the match. I thought Shaw was superb again. It looks like at the moment Shaw's going for that patch where everything touches, yeah. You know, some of the crosses.
Oh, everything crosses there were brilliant.
But as I said, he's
got big confidence with him, isn't it? Once he gets that running, once, and Ollie, again, with credit, you know, other managers failed to, I know he had the injury, but Mourinho couldn't, you know, manage them the wrong way. Ollie's obviously sussed how to get the best out of Shaw, and it's a very good bet.
His cross-field runs as well, the way he can now with confidence with the ball cross from side to side. And you can tell we played well because Bruno wasn't cursing and moaning when he went off. He was actually, we almost got half a smile. So, but I think we're going to win the Europa. I think we're going to be very happy going into the summer. I just don't want him to be let down and that inevitable. But I think we are not going to peter out and this season is going to end on a high. I really do now. So, can you imagine? It won't be the same. We are dealing with the shit around us. But if we can all be in little pubs and bunches together celebrating United, fucking seeing people again. So, there's a lot of optimism. I'm just trying to... When the blood flows with United, there's nothing like it. Even today, where we're just on our own, it felt like a release from all the shit. And that is great. So I'm on side. And hang on, you two saying you can't get picked on. You keep calling me a bald bastard, Nick.
Good. You deserve it.
Right. Go on, Ben. We better finish this, fucker.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm as Nathan said, looking forward to Thursday. I'm meeting Nathan and Wazza and a few other lads at O'Shea's, so that should be great. A really positive step back towards normality. I think looking further forward, it'd be amazing if we don't get through that. So the semi-finals are huge now, aren't they? We've obviously got this thing about getting past the semi. And I don't think it'll be easy. I mean, I think if it is Roma, which it looks like it'll be, that's going to be a tough game. So that's going to be, you know, probably season defining, really. But if we can get through that, I think if we finish second and win Europa League, you'll have to put it down as a good season. So, and then hopefully we can actually be back there next season and it starts again for real.
Yes, onwards and upwards for everything. Yes. And I'm going to leave. We're all going to join Nick's Wenger bus. Wait. Come on, last word. Without getting angry.
I'm just gutted that I can't be there on Thursday to come and watch the Granada game. I mean, it's nice, obviously, I suppose, in a way, obviously, me and the missus are going up to the lakes, aren't we? So, you know, we never know, we might actually catch it in a pub outside or something, wow. Which would be nice as well. But, yeah, I'm gutted about that because that would have been nice. But, you know, hopefully we can get through there and we get to a semi-final, then maybe we can do it there for if not one, hopefully maybe both of the legs for that. So it's a good step forward, isn't it, to be fair, towards normality. I'm just still chuckling at the picture of Nathan photoshopping me on a Spanish Toro boy.
I've just put in the group.
Which I'm sure you will chuckle to, as Coggy will enjoy. Instead of me being in the stands, I'm actually the bullfighter shouting all night.
Brilliant. I honestly, though, I admire it, and there would be nothing sweeter, but you don't need to the people who are rancid on Twitter, they deserve everything to get to everyone who's had nuances, but I admire you endlessly backing him. And on today's like today, I just think Ollie deserves a smile of wine. He's got one over Jose. We were all buzzing. We all felt it was the United way. He got the team the second half going. Just keep it going and win the fucking Europa. Right, lads. Well, last comments, anyone?
Just an observation that Nick is the Alan Partridge super fan, isn't he? If Ollie ever went round to Nick's house, it's going to be a giant cardboard cut out of him in his bedroom.
What, instead of Dan? Ollie! Ollie!
I've not met Ollie, to be fair.
I better not give you his
phone. Have him in a headlock.
I better not give you his phone number. Where I sent that infamous after Burnley keep the faith, Ollie, you'll just be going, Ollie, what are you doing? What are you doing right now?
I definitely have Ollie around for gin. Definitely. We'd have a beautiful night. We'd have Spanish tapas and we'd watch bullfighting together and invite Shane, because Shane's very nice about Ollie as well. Shane would be invited and the other four of you could piss off.
Can you imagine? He'd go, I'd rather be with the Ollie out as this bloke's really acting weird to me. Right, on that note.
Oh, so you set your camp out. I see it now.
See you later, lads. Thank you. Cheers. See you later.